Welcome all those attending. You may reference our attendee guide for detailed instructions and information. If you would like to participate in the meeting by either video or by phone, before the meeting begins, please use the Sign Up Genius link called Volunteer to Participate Virtually on our website, which is mnhowlive.org. That's M as in Minnesota, N as in nitrate, howlive.org. On the same webpage, you will find a link to our meetings, readings, and tools. If you have not signed up, you may volunteer to take a tool, a reading, or a tool via our meetings live chat. Only 2 hour OA House sponsors share on tools. If you need technical help, you can register for a coaching session on Monday or Thursday evenings via our Sign Up Genius form. If you're unable to make this time, please send a note to mnhowlive@gmail.com. The audio portion of this meeting is being recorded. Please visit our website at mnhowlive.org to download the files. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation, and for those who wish to join us in saying the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me
the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom to know the difference.
I will
not mine,
be not mine.
Amen. Amen. But for the record, are there any other compulsive overeaters at this meeting other than myself?
Yes.
We're here. Thanks, Rebecca.
Oh, my people. All right, great. So please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first name, phone number, times available for phone calls, and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the HOW format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, public political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry this message of recovery to those who still suffer. I believe we have someone who is slated to read What Is How.
Hi, I'm Jane, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Jane. Welcome.
Hi.
Jane.
What is HOW? HOW is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did HOW begin? HOW began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in HOW sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County, New York Sponsors Guide. Thank you.
Thanks, Jane.
There we go. Will someone please read the only requirement?
Hi, my name is Pamela. I'm a compulsive overeater and a food addict.
Hi, Pamela.
Hi, Pamela.
But the only requirement, Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the HOW concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this evening by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of How. The Board of Trustees state, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participants and participation at OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Oh, that's right. Now it goes down the wrong pipe. Sorry. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member. We of Overeaters Anonymous welcome all members with open arms. The Overeaters, oh, that's the How concept. Thank you.
Thanks, Pamela.
Would, I believe it's Patrick B., please read the How concept.
My name's Patrick. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Patrick.
The How concept. The Overeaters Anonymous How meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of program and the 12 steps and the 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. This is the How of the program. We pray that the collective group conscious and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the How ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday evening meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands Him, open our minds and our hearts to the love which is manifested on this meeting. Amen.
Thanks, Patrick.
May I have Megan read reflections for the newcomer?
Hey, all. It's Megan in Virginia. And
Hi, Megan. Welcome.
Hey. Reflections for the newcomer. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a disciplined program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If a newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. And that's from the doctor's opinion, big book, Roman numeral page 26, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor, in all self-honesty, must release all sponsees to continue his own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what he does not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. A body badly burned by alcohol does not recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is a most powerful restorative. That's from the Family Afterwards, Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless, and no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. And I pass. Thanks for letting me be of service.
Thank you, Megan.
Thanks, Megan.
Would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
Hi, I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater, binge eater.
Hi, Sheila. Welcome.
Hello. Excerpt from step 2 of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. It's pages 9 through 11, starting at paragraph 2. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, we have acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off the floor, off the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, family, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies. We have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and have destroyed our health. Then horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping we could someday have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for a cure. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than with the other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting with and without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, or excessive exercise. We'd stuff food in our mouths until we were in physical pain, then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could not accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we got enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. Our true insanity can be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excess food long after it began to cause us misery. Pass.
Thanks, Sheila.
Thanks, Sheila. Sheila.
Would someone please read how it works?
Hi, I'm Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Kelly.
Chapter 5.
Hi, Kelly.
Thank you. Chapter 5, How It Works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with alcohol, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us, but there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Pass.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you.
Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Tamara.
Tamara, welcome.
Thank you. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 6, we're admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the results of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with that." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we're willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. That's from the Big Book, Chapter 7, page 60. And I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Tamara. Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program? Anyone ready to read the 12 traditions of the program?
Yes, this is Deborah. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Deborah.
Okay. Hi, Deborah.
Deborah.
Aye. 12 traditions. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. For our group purpose, number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively.
Deborah, I think we lost your video.
I'm working on my iPad.
Oh, okay.
Four, OA, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeater Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeater Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. And I pass.
Thanks, Deborah.
Thanks, Deborah.
Thanks, Deborah.
Thank you. The 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous is a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as, quote, any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which will help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
No.
What? No way.
What?
Yeah.
So too with our tools of recovery. I will ask that how sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper?
Hey, Rebecca, it's me. I'm Megan in Virginia, and I am your timer tonight.
Great. Thank you. Participants will receive timing prompts in the chat. So first up is abstinence plan of eating.
Hi, I think that's me, Jane, compulsive overeater up in Canada.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, Jane. Welcome.
Hi, Jane. Welcome.
Thanks. Tool one, plan of eating. A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The how disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in how. This means that we depend on each other for the strength and growth that we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between, except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. One, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Two, unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. 3, we weigh and measure all our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and scale. So at this point, I will verbally describe to you what I do with my abstinence kit, scale, cup, spoons, telephone, etc. Okay, so what I use every day, every meal, I have this handy scale, very thin little digital scale. I use it like crazy. I have a few extra batteries. I also have this other scale that back in the day when you could eat at these things we call restaurants, I would bring this to the restaurant and it folds up and it's the size of like a glasses case. And I think I didn't come into HOW because partly I didn't want to have to do that in restaurants, but it turns out it's pretty darn easy. And I also use this for, it's a tablespoon measure for like oils and sour cream and things like that. And then I have this handy spatula that I use as my straight edge and also to get out every last drop. And whatever's inside the spoon is mine. And on the appropriate side of the spatula is mine, and the rest of it is not. And also in an abstinence kit, one may carry with them, if one is out in the world, like an extra starch, vegetable, some protein, that kind of thing. And then finally, of course, your phone. So for instance, today, as I was making my snack, I happened to realize there was a little stack of cucumbers that I was supposed to have with my lunch, and I didn't, and then the stack was still there. And the first thing I do is just call my sponsor and let her know that that happened, because my old self would want to add it to my meal to think, oh, it's food I didn't get to eat, so I'll just eat it now. But in HOW, we don't do that. We call it in and let it go. And so I just put it back in the fridge to have for another meal at some other point that's committed. Okay, I'm going to go on with the reading now. Sorry, just getting it up here on my phone. Okay. Number 4, we weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight and once a week on maintenance. 5, unless advised otherwise by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. 6, we do not drink alcohol. 7, we do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed 5th or beyond on the ingredients label. Above all, we do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that counts. It is the decision to take it. Okay, so now I'm going to share a little bit on the food plan. I think I also shied away from HOW for a while because I was worried that the food plan and the weighing and measuring was reminiscent of a diet. And I saw it all as trying to control the food. What I've learned in HOW is really, and I've mentioned this to a few people in my outreach calls recently, is I see it as a way to practice willingness and surrender. So every time that I weigh and I measure and I eat the appropriate foods that were committed the day before, not necessarily food that on a whim I crave or decide to have in that moment, every time I just follow the plan, I'm saying yes to my higher power. I'm letting my higher power steer the course. And it feels really good. And my higher power in turn just gives me more and more opportunities to practice that. And my life gets a little bigger. And I never would have, you know, it took me a long time to realize that my food problems can be helped by God as long as I seek God out to help them. to find help with them. So that's been a really great thing for me. And also having the willingness to make those calls when I make a food error and seeing that as not any kind of failure, but an opportunity to connect. And sometimes I think God's kind of sneaky, you know, with those cucumbers, they were right there. And I was a little nervous about taking on the tool of plan of eating and talking about it for some reason. And I think God thought, you know what, 15 minutes before the meeting, you're going to make a little outreach call. I'm going to have this happen. and there you be. So I think with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Jane.
Thanks, Jane.
Would someone please pitch on sponsorship?
Pals Over Food. My name is Lewis from Maryland.
Hi, Lewis. Thanks.
Hey, Lewis. Lewis, welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and was taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end-alls and be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It is not the extra string bean that is a problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else before. The program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools away and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. Well, I can't imagine working this program without a sponsor. It is such a critical relationship. And one of the things I've learned in my abstinence is that part of my living problem of compulsive overeating is that I struggle with accountability, and that has a lot to do with this disease being a disease of isolation. So my experience is that the most important word of all 12 steps is we, and the sponsorship relationship is probably the most important factor that has bridged me out of the isolation and into we. The sponsorship relationship is where I take risks. I'm vulnerable with my sponsor. Every day I commit my food to her. I commit my writing to her. I also share with her the service that I performed the prior day. I also share with her my gratitudes and my plan of action for the day. So she has a very clear understanding of where I am in any day. And she gives me guidance and help with applying the steps to the program. Absolutely, she carries the message, and that's her fundamental concern. And she does a terrific job of that. The modeling that I receive from this experience is critical for me to help people who I sponsor. The whole nature of sponsorship is kind of a channeling process where we pass on what's been so freely given to us. And it's a very powerful experience to be able to share the depravity of this illness that we have here, but how God, in the practice of the tools and steps, has the ability to transform all that horror that we went through into a life-giving experience. And that's really one of the greatest fruits of sponsorship is that. So I'm very, very grateful to be a sponsor, and very, very grateful to have had sponsors who have shown me the way and walked the path before me.
That's time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lewis.
Thanks. For the sake of time, will all Howe and OA sponsors please join me in sharing only the following: how long in OA and how long abstinent in OA or how, and how much weight lost or gained. This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Sponsors are invited to share by starting your video and clicking the raise hand button on the participants panel, or by pressing star and 9 on your phone, or just start your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and your audio will be unmuted. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. So we have some raised hands. Howard, do I call those out?
I think I start.
Sorry, I'm here. All right, Rebecca, if you want to go.
Sure. My name's Rebecca B. I'm a compulsive reader, overreader in Ohio. I'm a OA How sponsor, or OA How 2 Hour, I should say, sponsor. I came to OA How after a short, well, 2.5 years is not short, 2.5 years of relapse out of regular OA. What was that? February of 2019, I came in, but my most recent abstinence dates from February 9th of 2020. I am now at maintenance weight after losing 70 pounds. Pass.
Erlinda?
Yes. Hi, everyone. It's Erlinda from Chicago. I'm a OA 2 Hour House sponsor. Grateful to be here. I've been in program since February 2019. I've been relieved of 63 pounds. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Megan?
Hey, all. This is Megan in Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm an OA House sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away 85 to 90 pounds since rejoining the program from a relapse. This is Megan in Virginia.
Sheila?
I am Sheila, compulsive overeater. I came directly to Howe in May of 2015. My abstinence date's May 19th of 2015, and I have been relieved of over 90 pounds. Pass.
Tamara?
Hi, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I found the How program April 3rd of 2017, became abstinence, lost over 75 pounds in the How program. My recommitment date is December 1st of 2019, and I pass. Thank you.
Kelly?
Hi, my name is Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater from Pennsylvania. I'm an OA How 2 Hour sponsor, and I came to OA How. My back-to-back abstinence date is December 21st, 2019, and I've been relieved of 30 pounds. Thank you, and I pass.
Carolyn?
Hi, I'm Caroline in Columbus, Ohio. I'm an OA How sponsor. I came into How on April 30th of 2006. By the grace of God and the power of this fellowship, I'm maintaining a 40-pound weight loss and free from binge purging for more than 13 years. My recommitted abstinence actually dates from September 6, 2016. Pass.
Mary? Mary, we
we can't hear you. I'm going to go to Maureen. We'll come back.
Hi, everyone. I'm Maureen in Virginia and a compulsive overeater and a sponsor. I joined traditional OA in March of 2019 and I became sugar abstinent. And then I joined OA How in January of this year, became fully abstinent and very happy to have released 44 pounds so far. And with that, I pass.
Ruth?
Hi, my name is Ruth. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater from Connecticut. My back-to-back date is December 11th of 2008. And I'm maintaining a 45-pound weight loss pass.
Nancy?
Hello, everyone. I'm Nancy D, compulsive overeater. I came into the rooms of How in September of 2017. My abstinence, back-to-back abstinence date is July 3rd of 2018. And I have been relieved of 90 pounds.
Patrick?
My name's Patrick. I'm a compulsive overeater. My abstinence date in OA How is, I first came into OA How in August of 2015. My back-to-back abstinence date is from August of 2018. I've been relieved of 175 pounds and no longer require diabetic medication.
Mary?
Okay, here I am again. Mary G, compulsive overeater in St. Paul, and I came to OA in October 31st, 2012. My abstinence date is November 1st, and I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Jane?
I'm Jane on Vancouver Island in Canada. I came into regular OA about 8 years ago and went in and out and found How last year, September 19th, 2019, and have been abstinent ever since. I'm a House sponsor and I have lost about 14 pounds. Thanks.
Alyssa?
Hey, this is Alyssa, a compulsive eater food addict from Seattle and 2-hour OA House sponsor. My recommitted abstinence date is February 20th of this year. I've been thus far relieved of 25 pounds of relapse weight and am 70 pounds beneath my highest weight. Alyssa from Seattle.
Patty?
Hi, my name is Patty V. I'm from New York. I am a 2-hour OA House sponsor. I came directly into How on April 23rd, 2019, and I have lost 97 pounds so far, and I pass.
There's someone 433692. I don't know who that is. If you want to go ahead, you can go ahead. All right, I'll go to Heather.
Hi, everyone. Excuse me. Hi, everyone. My name is Heather. I'm in Texas. I'm an OA How 2-hour sponsor. I came into How August 2019. My recommitted abstinence date is May 14th, 2020. I am in maintenance. I'm down 35 pounds from my top weight, up 30 pounds from my low weight. Pass. Thanks.
Lewis?
Yeah, I'm Carl Silver Food. My name is Lewis from Maryland. I came into the rooms of OA How in March of 2006. My back-to-back abstinence date is from January 3rd of last year, and I've lost over 80 pounds from my top weight. I also have a spot for a sponsee at 8:30 each day. And on Eastern Standard Time, my number's on the chat room. Lewis from Maryland, thank you.
All right, so if the person who is listed as, it's a number, 433692, I don't know who that is, but if you wanna go ahead as a sponsor, go ahead.
Hi, this is Sandy, compulsive overeater. Can you hear me?
Oh, yep, we can hear you.
I've never done this before. I didn't know that was me, so I apologize. Anyway, compulsive overeater, 2-way How format, 2-hour How format sponsor. I came into OA How in 2017. I was in a relapse for 5 months. I returned from relapse by the grace of God, 20. So I've been abstinent back to back 12-7-2019, and I have no openings. Pass.
Thank you. If there's anybody on the phone, I think you push *9 or *6 if you want to go ahead. Anybody else? Oh, I've got some more, sorry. Pamela?
Hi. Hi, my name is Pamela, compulsive overeater, 2-hour how format's sponsor. I came to OA 40 years ago. I stayed for 20. I stayed for the vanity, not the sanity, and I lost over 100 pounds. left for 20 years, came back. When I came back on January 22nd, 2016, I came right into OA How. My recommitment date is June 15th, 2017. I just celebrated 3 years. And my weight loss or gain is between my nutritionist, my doctor, my sponsor, and my higher power. And I don't have any openings at this time.
Kay?
Yes, my name is Kay. I'm a compulsive eater. I came into OA in 1989 to How in January of 93. My current abstinence date is September 1st, 2018. I've weighed 25 pounds less and 50 pounds more. And I guess that's it. I'm in Virginia.
Deborah in Montana?
That's actually my initials, Deborah MT from Virginia. I have been, came to OA in 2006. I came to How in 2012. I have, my most recent abstinence date is March 28th of this year. I've been 80 pounds more and 10 pounds less. And go Anne Marie.
Christina?
Hi, I'm Christina. I'm a compulsive overeater. I live in New Mexico. Grateful to be here. My abstinence date is June 2017. I'm happy to have a sponsor, maintaining about a 50 pound weight loss. Thanks.
John?
Hello, my name is John from Detroit. I'm a compulsive overeater. Came into OA How the third time, July 1st of 2019. My back-to-back abstinence is November 15th of 2019. And I have currently am down 35 pounds. Thank you.
Kaya?
Can you see me? Can you hear me?
Yep.
This is fine. Okay, great. Hi. I'm trying to find a place in my house that's not so bright. This is Chaya P in Denver, Colorado. I am a 2-hour house sponsor. I've been in OA for many, many years and different communities within OA. I actually started in How in Los Angeles 30 something years ago. And I have a current back-to-back How abstinence since June 20th, 2019. So I just celebrated a year. And I am also recovered bulimic restrictor, maintaining a very healthy body weight. Thanks.
Anne Marie?
Hi, everyone. I'm Anne Marie M from Virginia. I am stepping up tonight and I'm a 2-hour How sponsor now. I'm available for temping. And my abstinent date is March 11th of this year. And I've been coming to the 2-hour OA How format since November of 2019.
Howard?
I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor on the relationship. I've been abstaining.
Howard, do you want to go?
Here we go. Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor in the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 19 years as of last Wednesday. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Anybody else? Otherwise, Rebecca, if you want to come back on.
All right, hearing
we have Tim. I think we have Tim.
Oh, and Tim. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Tim B. from Wisconsin. I'm not sure if you're seeing me or someone else. Hi, this is Tim B. from Wisconsin. I'm a 2-hour OA house sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence date is September 29th of 2019. I'm down about 112 pounds in the last 2 years in with the HOW program. Tim B. from Wisconsin.
All right, anybody else?
Go ahead, Ruth.
Go ahead, Rebecca.
Okay.
Go ahead, excuse, just a second. Ruth, go ahead.
No, I already went.
Oh, you did, okay.
All righty, clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion. And if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or how, no one is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Okay, next up is a sponsor to talk about anonymity.
Yes, hi, this is Ruth in Connecticut.
Hi, Ruth, thanks.
Hi, Ruth, welcome.
Hi, Ruth, welcome.
Hi, Ruth.
Tool 3, anonymity. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group, or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is the part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time honestly who we are, where we've been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear of being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told, your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery. Recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers, please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here. As I was reading this, I was reminded of a conversation I had with my daughter last night. So she's not in a 12-step program. She's in her early 20s. But we were talking about where you can be honest with people and how important that is to be, to not be who you're presenting yourself on social media, but to be able to really share about yourself. And I know that this tool is really what allowed me to experience that for the first time when I came to OA in the early 80s. was that feeling of it was a safe place where I could be honest and just not be judged and or criticized. And so I like that at the beginning where it says it gives us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. I guess I did want to mention that the thing that I love about OA How is that we don't know who your sponsor is, and people don't know who you're sponsoring. And that really gives me a lot of freedom too, so that, or even when you talk to anybody in your outreach calls, we don't mention who we saw at a meeting or that so-and-so said this or that, even if you're sharing something positive, that we just, like, it really has taught me to share about myself and about what's going on with me, rather than trying to relay information about other people. And I think that's really a gift. And it's not, it's like the difference between going to a party where you have a superficial social type of interactions with people, but in this program we get to be really honest and genuine because of the tool of anonymity. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Ruth.
Thanks, Ruth. Ruth.
There I am. All right. Can we have a sponsor share on telephone calls?
Hi, my name is Kelly. I'll share on telephone.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi, everybody. Hello. Tool 4, telephone. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard-to-handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors, and as part of the surrender process is the tool by which we can learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. In How, we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. Sorry. Telephone, this was one of the tools that when I started How, I thought to myself, oh, how in the world will I ever fit this in? Because I'm so busy. Crazy thinking. It truly is a lifeline. It allows me to build relationships with people that are doing the same exact thing that I am doing. It allows me to get support on a daily basis from people who don't judge, who understand the way my mind works and a lot of the ways that I perceive things. And 99% of the time, it's a healthy person who will give me a productive and recovery-oriented solution for what I'm sharing about, as opposed to some of my, normal life friends who can kind of get me riled up a little bit in the negativity, like, yeah, that really sucked, you should be mad, or, that kind of stuff. But with program, it's more like, okay, have you checked in with a higher power about this? What do you think you could do to make the situation better? Just really asking questions that guide me in the right direction and allow me to see things a lot more clearly. So I am so thankful for the tool of telephone, and I have more than enough time every day to make these calls and receive them. So I'm so thankful that this is part of our program. I don't know what I would do without the voices that I hear every day. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Kelly.
Next, can I have a sponsor pitch on meetings?
Hi, this is Pamela, compulsive overeater and food addict, to our house.
Hi, Pamela.
Hi,
welcome.
Pamela.
Hi.
Thanks.
Pamela.
Hey, Pamela.
How are you all doing? Meetings are gatherings of 2 or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating one another by relating to one another by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. And my name is Pamela. I'm compulsive overeater and food addict, a 2-hour HOW sponsor. And when I came in 4 years ago, there was a face-to-face meeting here in Sarasota, Florida, and I attended that religiously every week for 3 years. And then I needed to kind of back off that meeting. And it, since this summer, it has disbanded as a face-to-face, but is still gathering as a phone meeting. And I liked going there because I could see other familiar people weekly, and I could see that they were really working their program or not. And I go to more than one meeting a week. I usually go to 2 or 3. And I enjoy going to meetings and listening to these tools spoken by sponsors and shared by their experience and strength and hope. I like the beginning readings, explains what we're all about. And I just get a whole lot out of my meeting. I always feel better when I leave than when I walk through the door or come to a Zoom meeting. I'm sure, I do find that being on time, even for a phone meeting or a Zoom meeting, I get to chat with somebody before the meeting, and then if I'm able to stay after the meeting, or to chat with some people after the meeting that weren't there early. What I missed most about going to my face-to-face meeting is my hugs. I'm a hugger, and I really kind of miss that. Now with COVID-19, I don't think there's going to be any hugging in meetings for a while. And I've been isolated because I'm in an assisted living place, and I am locked down. I'm not locked in my room, thank God. I can go out to the community room and be around other people, but they're not in program. They have no clue what I do. You know, people who sit around with me are amazed that I weigh my food every day. Thank you, and thank you for letting me to be of service to this meeting. I love it. Thank you.
Thanks, Pamela.
Thanks, Pamela. Can we now have a sponsor pitch on literature and writing?
Hi, everyone. Maureen in Virginia, and I'll be happy to share about tools 6 and 7.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi, everyone. Literature. We study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, For Today for Daily Meditation, and Lifeline, our Journal of Recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Also, we do writing. of our inventories and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper and describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. And I wanted to share on these tools tonight because I found them so very important for my own recovery. And I have been very impressed by the number of various excellent resources available. For example, the daily meditations for today, you can find on, I don't know if you can see that, they're available on Kindle, as well as many of the other literature is also available on Kindle. So that's very handy, as well as I really like the worksheets. That's just how my brain works. So we have a very detailed fourth step worksheet that I found fantastic because I could go through and put a lot of detail down, and just fill up each space and just, use this for exploration. Yeah, we've got an eighth step worksheet and there's some various workbooks. For example, I have the 12-step workbook of Overeaters Anonymous, which is very nice because it provides various questions and space to write on it if you prefer to write in the book itself. And I found this particularly helpful going beyond the first 70 pre-commitment questions because I really like that format of having a question, answering the question after doing the reading. And it helped me focus on certain aspects, very different aspects of, the recovery process. And so to have additional questions to turn to is also very nice. And I found that writing especially has been very important for just me to be honest with myself and with my sponsor. Something that, I found extremely revealing in the writing process. It's helped me do the emotional excavation, really digging down and finding out why I was using food to repress a lot of emotions. What are those emotions? Let me bring them out, help examine them, write about them. And I found writing them out was helpful. I always type my answers, for the longer paragraphs I usually write each day because I'm a faster typer. And so that I find that's much more comfortable than handwriting it all out. But that emotional excavation for clarity, because I'll type it in, I'll read it again, just to make sure what I'm saying makes sense. And then I'll read it to my sponsor. And even when I read it out to my sponsor, I find that that's even reveals more things. So there's so many layers that writing really helps me get to in my internal, spiritual, emotional, and mental self. So, and I'm so thankful for my sponsor because she's wonderful and I would not do this if it weren't for her. I know myself, I need her as my external motivator. And so I'm very thankful that to have a sponsor who receives everything I say with such grace and such love. So I spend about 30, maybe 45 minutes each morning, depending on how long the reading is. Each day we talk, my sponsor and I talk about what the reading will be for our next meeting, as well as for the writing assignment. Thank you all very much. I pass.
Thanks, Maureen. Next, can we have a sponsor pitch on service?
Yes, hi, Caroline here, compulsive eater and bulimic. I'll share on service.
Hi, Caroline, thanks.
Hi, Caroline. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole is a way of giving back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills this promise, always to extend the hand and heart of OA to those who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible. Before I came into program, service to me was kind of tied up with either guilt or resentment. I would only usually do service if I felt so guilty about not contributing to a group or feeling like I really should do something. Then I would do it, but then I would resent it. It was a transaction. Gave something, get something back, and I never got back enough to pay me back for what I had given. Since I've been in program, I learned a whole lot of new things. I learned, number one, can you still hear me? I hope it's not. Am I coming through okay?
You're coming through okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, bandwidth is low, but good. Go ahead.
I hope you can still hear me. I'll keep talking. I do what you can when you can. And that's what we say in a life of sane and happy usefulness. So I never actually thought of that concept before, that you would do what you can when you can. I felt like you had to just do something even though I didn't have time to do it. The other thing is, as a result of the love and care that I've had in this program from fellows, I want to give back. And I learned through program that I was giving back out of joy and desire to give, and out of the transformation that it makes in me, not because I'm doing something to get some favor from you. So the transformational nature of service for me is something that I have been able to carry into my regular life too. And so now I'm very careful about offering to do service. I only say yes when I know I have time and when I'm going to be able to do it with love and care and joy. If I can't do that, I say no. That's a very new thing for me. But it means that I can truly do service with a joyful heart, rather than begrudgingly and with resentment, which I had before. So I do appreciate everyone on this call doing service and the service that we all give each other by being abstinent. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Caroline.
Thank you.
Thanks, Caroline.
Will all people doing service for OA at any level please stand and applaud service?
Yay, service. Woohoo, service.
That's all of us. All right. Yay. So the Minnesota OA How Live meeting is a friendly place and we want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line or press star and six on your telephone's keypad and introduce yourself by first name only and where you are from. Phone calls, please give us your phone number, time zone, and best times to call in the chat's fine. So who do we have? Jean D, I can't hear you.
I'm Jean.
Oh, there you are. Hi.
And I can't change my I can't turn my video back on. It says the host won't let me. Has asked me to start my video now. Okay, there we go. Anyway, I'm from Virginia, and what else am I supposed to add? I'm sorry. My phone number is 703-963-6977. And I am not in How, I'm in regular OA, but I'm here to support Anne Marie. And really excited for her. Thank you.
Thanks, Jean. Welcome. Is that Sandy?
Hi, this is Sandy. Hi, 2 hour OA How, and my first time at this meeting. I'm in Southwest Florida, and my phone number is 973 809-5338 and call times 9:30 until 6:30. Thank you.
Welcome, Sandy.
Thank you.
Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, everybody.
Any other newcomers or visitors from other meetings?
Hi, this is Karen. Can I share?
Absolutely. Karen?
Hi.
Can't see you.
Do you want me to put my video on?
If you don't mind.
I don't mind at all. Hi, everyone. I feel like I'm coming into clarity. I'm Karen. I'm a compulsive overeater, and this is my first time back in a long time. I am in Florida, Tampa, Florida, and I actually came to this meeting because I am hard of hearing, and I was looking for a meeting with interpreters, so I'm thrilled to see this. So I'm happy to be back, and it's good to be here with everyone else. That's it.
Great. Thanks, Karen.
Welcome. Karen. We're happy to have you.
Okay. Any other newcomers, returners, visitors?
Yeah, my name's Ryan.
Hi, Ryan. Welcome.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm a newcomer. I've been coming to meetings, haven't officially gotten started yet, but I've been coming back, dipping my toes in the water. So I'm in Kansas. My phone number is 402-980-3827. I'm in Central Time.
Great. Thanks, Ryan.
Welcome, Ryan.
Welcome.
Ryan. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Kay is also here. Hi, Kay. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yes, thank you. My name is Kay. I'm a compulsive eater, and I am in Virginia. And I am a longtime member of HOW, but this is the first time at this meeting, and I'm delighted to be here and hope to return. Thank you.
Welcome, Kay.
Welcome.
Thanks, Kay.
Welcome.
Hi, I'm Linda. I'm a compulsive overeater. I haven't been to a meeting in a very long time, and I'm ready to come back to the program. And Anne Marie invited me to hear her, and I'm grateful to be here.
Thanks, Linda. Welcome back.
Welcome, Linda.
Would Tracy like to introduce herself?
Hey, everyone. This is Tracy from Virginia, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tracy.
This is my second time at this meeting, so I'm just coming into OA HOW in the last 20 days. So thank you.
Great.
Welcome, Tracy.
All right. I think that's everyone visiting this meeting for the first time. Okay. Hearing none. I'll go on. This meeting has ASL interpretation provided by state funding. We ask all deaf participants to please utilize the chat to let us know you are here. Please include the city and state in which you reside. You can also inform us by changing your username to ASL_your name_your state abbreviation_ and your city you're from. May we please have a treasurer's report? Treasurer's report?
Proud Silver Food, my name is Lewis from Maryland. I just started Lewis, in this
can
role.
Can you turn your camera on?
I can't. I can at this point. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Carry on.
All right. So, Proud Silver Food. My name is Lewis from Maryland. I just volunteered for the role of treasurer. So, what I'll do is between now and next week, I'll get the information together and be able to make a report next week. So thank you for your patience, and I appreciate the opportunity to serve the group.
Thanks for your service, Lewis.
Great. Thanks for your service, Lewis. All right. Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, contribute to our service structure, refine the technology, develop other live OA face-to-face groups, and more. Please go to the website mnhowlive.org to donate. And I will read the promises. The promises. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. So, we have any announcements pertaining to OA How, 2 hours in general?
Hi, this is Sheila, still a compulsive overeater. I just wanted to mention about a Region 4 convention. It's a virtual convention that is coming up. It's July 10th. That's a Friday evening. It starts Friday evening through like midday on Saturday, July 11th. So July 10th to July 11th. And the topic is 2020 Vision Through Recovery. You can find, you can register for that on the overeaters.org website, and I will, if you go to events and then upcoming events, you will see it. I will take and put a link in the chat in just a moment. Thank you.
Thanks, Sheila.
Thanks, Sheila.
Hey, all. This is Megan in Virginia. I am one of the folks here who looks for speakers for this meeting. Welcome to everybody who's new or visiting because of our current crisis. If you found this meeting to be helpful and you would like to be of service and share your story, you can always contact me. I'll put my information down in the chat for you. We need a speaker for the last Tuesday in July, and we're looking for speakers for August. So if you have an anniversary or a significant date coming up that you want to celebrate, we would love to hear from you. Thank you. I pass.
Thanks, Megan.
Thanks, Megan.
Hi, I'm Caroline. Can I please make an announcement?
Sure.
Sure. I'm a member of the HOW Virtual Intergroup, and the HVIG is in need of a secretary. If anyone would like to do service at the regional level, HVIG counts as regional level service. So you get that on your dance card. And it is usually a meeting on Sunday afternoon around 4:30, not every Sunday, usually about once a month. So I don't think it's a huge lift to do this service. If you would like more information, my phone number is in the chat, Caroline in Ohio. Thanks.
Thanks, Caroline.
Thanks,
Caroline. Hi, I'm Heidi, a compulsive overeater. I am the medallion person for this meeting, and I just wanted to remind everyone, if you raise your hand for medallion and want one actually sent to you, to either give me a call or a text or private message me in the chat of this meeting your address, and I am happy to mail that to you. And I just wanted to say a shout out and thank you for everyone for signing up ahead of time on the Sign Up Genius for this meeting today. Thanks.
Thanks, Heidi. Anyone else? Any other announcements? Okay. Literature and books. Newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the Virtual Intergroup's resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. That's meetingplural.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At HOW meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the HOW program. All other OA abstinence is given a round of applause. Anyone may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. Okay, so when we have a portion of us in the room, we've got the medallion box that Heidi is the carrier of right now, shaking it away. Do we have anyone who is celebrating this week? Let's go with 15 years or more of back-to-back abstinence.
Hi, I'm Howard, a compulsive overeater. Last Wednesday, I celebrated 19 years.
Hey, Howard.
Congratulations.
Hey, Howard. Good job.
Yay, Howard.
Fast.
Yay.
Way to go.
Way to go.
That is amazing, Howard. All right. Anyone celebrating between 10 to 15 years of back-to-back abstinence? Anyone celebrating 10 to 15 years of back-to-back abstinence? Okay, how about 5 to 10 years back-to-back abstinence? 5 years. How about, how about 4 years back-to-back abstinence? 3 years?
Hey, it's Christina. I'm celebrating 3 years.
Yay! Hi, Christina!
Woo!
Congratulations!
Hey, Christina.
Christina.
Woo! Hi, Christina!
Yay!
Wonderful. So you'll be in touch with Heidi, no doubt, for your medallion. All right, where was I? I think I'm at 2 years back-to-back abstinence. Next is year and a half or 18 months. Do we have anyone celebrating a year of back-to-back abstinence?
Chaya P. in Denver, Colorado, 1 year on June 20th, back-to-back 2 hour HOW.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. Congratulations,
Chaya. Way to go.
Anyone else celebrating 1 year back-to-back abstinence? Okay, how about, 9 months? I think we have a chip for 9 months.
Jane, compulsive overeater, I have 9 months.
Yay!
Oh, hi, Jane. Congratulations.
All right.
Awesome.
Anyone else with 9 months?
This is Carrie, overeater. I am also celebrating 9 months.
Woo! Carrie.
All right, Carrie.
Way to go.
Hold on. All right. Anybody else with 9 months? All right. How about 6 months back-to-back abstinence? Anyone celebrating 6 months?
Hi, I'm Kelly from Pennsylvania, and on the 21st, I had 6 months back-to-back HOW abstinence.
Yay!
Oh, Kelly. Hey, you guys are rock stars. Hi,
Kelly.
Wonderful.
Way to go.
All right, anyone else celebrating 6 months? All right, next up is 3 months or 90 days. Anyone celebrating 3 months, 90 days of back-to-back abstinence?
I'm Richard from Wisconsin, a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Richard.
Hey, Richard.
Hi, and I will have, I will have 3 months and six more days.
Oh, good.
All right.
Richard.
Hey, Richard.
Congratulations. Good job.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Any other takers for 90 days, 3 months? How about 60 days, 2 months?
Hi, this is Marlena, and I have 60 days since coming out of relapse.
Oh,
yay, Marlena. Wow, wonderful, Marlena. Congratulations.
Fantastic.
Okay, any more for 2 months, 60 days? All right, how about 30 days, 1 month?
Yes, this is Deborah in Michigan, 30 days.
good for you.
Awesome, Deborah.
Hey, Deborah.
Congratulations, Deborah.
Congratulations.
So many celebrations.
This is wild, folks. You're all rock stars. Anybody else with 30 days?
Hey, it's Sarah in North Carolina. I have 30 days.
Awesome, Sarah.
Congratulations.
Yay.
Is there anyone else celebrating an anniversary right now? Oh, my goodness. So much celebrating.
Yes, Nancy.
Nancy, did I hear her? Hold on, Nancy's breaking up.
30 days.
30 days, Nancy.
Yay.
Oh, my goodness.
Yay.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Congratulations, Nancy.
Well done. Congratulations. Anyone else celebrating 30 days? Okay. So last chip of the evening, last medallion possibility here is the
chip of desire.
Yes, thank you. Chip of desire. So chip of desire is not, you know, I'm committing to be abstinent for the next 24 hours or really anything more than something in this meeting has inspired you. You know, there's something you saw on the sponsor line, you heard in someone's voice, you saw in their eyes that has got you thinking about doing something different. You know, whether that's recommitting to the program you're still working or coming back or starting from day one. Is anyone interested in having a chip of desire, a 24-hour chip?
This is Tracy in Virginia. I'd like a 24-hour chip.
All right, Tracy.
Wonderful. Yay, congratulations, Tracy.
Good job.
Yay. Thank you.
Hi, this is Karen from Florida, and I would like to have that 24-hour chip as well.
Yay.
Absolutely, Karen.
Come back, Karen.
It's coming your way.
Yay. Well done.
Any other takers for the chip of desire? All right. Well, if we miss you, by all means, put it in the chat box. Heidi will catch it and we'll celebrate you at all times, all days, all other days. All right. Step ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks the sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has had at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first three steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, new sponsors are presented with the cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers, remember to drink your water, and reminder that we don't water down the program. I believe we do have a step up this evening, correct?
Yep.
Okay, Anne Marie.
Yay, Anne-Marie.
Woo-hoo, Anne-Marie, congratulations.
Thank you.
You able to unmute Anne-Marie? Where are you at?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
Tears of joy.
Congratulations, Anne-Marie.
Thank you.
Before you, you have five candles. Truth, reality, surrender, acceptance, and knowledge. OA offers each of us a wonderful opportunity to develop and hasten an attitude change known as ego reduction. The use of these disciplines of weighing and measuring, phone calls, reporting to sponsors, and attending meetings all combine to reinforce our growth in OA. Action is the magic word. Until we so humble ourselves through these acts, there is no evidence of our ego reduction or our surrender to anyone or anything outside of ourselves. Each candle signifies a step towards arresting the progression of our disease. The first two represent truth and reality. Without these two qualities, we would not be recovering compulsive overeaters. And I believe we have candle readers who sign up for tonight to take over from here. Congratulations, Anne-Marie.
Hi, this is Patty V. Hi, this is Patty V. from New York. Candle one. Congratulations, Anne Marie. I have the candle of truth. The candle of truth is the keynote of those who strive to stop the advancement of compulsive overeating. It is the unrelenting force that permits no double standard. Its state attainment brings the satisfaction of inward peace. We must fearlessly face the truth to avoid the ever-present pitfall of self-deception. Congratulations. Pass.
Thanks, Patty.
All right, this is Carrie, and this is the candle of reality. And it is a new light. It opens the door to a new life. It holds the promise of new understanding. It offers a chance for personal renewal. It makes a statement that goes beyond fantasy, and it holds the dream of a better tomorrow. Without the light of reality, we are destined to remain in that sick, shadowy world of the path of past mistakes and unrealistic dreams of false tomorrows. Congratulations, Anne-Marie.
Thanks.
Anne-Marie, this is Sandy. Congratulations. The third candle. This is the candle of surrender. In OA, surrender is the first and most important act necessary to launching you into the other steps. Without the surrender of your food, your ego, and your will, all else is hopeless. When you surrender, you suspend such negative emotions as disbelief, grandiosity, and you open yourself up to the process of learning who you are and where you fit in to the scheme of things. Congratulations, Anne-Marie.
Thanks, yes.
Hello, Anne-Marie. My name is Tamara. Congratulations. Candle number four. This is the candle of acceptance. Without acceptance, you could not have come this far. Acceptance is seeing things as they really are. Acceptance is understanding that we have spent our lives denouncing everything. And now we must open up our hearts as well as our minds and accept. We must accept the will of God, accept that only He can restore us to sanity. Congratulations. Pass.
Thanks, Tamara.
Crossover Food, my name is Lewis from Maryland. And congratulations, Anne-Marie. I've got candle number five. This is the candle of knowledge, and it opens the door wide. We now know that God is on our side. We can see and hear His pronouncements in our lives. We recognize what it is that we may do and what only He can do. We acknowledge that the greatest gift He has given us is knowing ourselves. Congratulations.
Thanks, Lewis.
Anne-Marie, even the newest of newcomers finds undreamed rewards as he tries to help his brother alcoholic, the one who is even blinder than he. This is indeed the kind of giving that actually demands nothing. He does not expect his brother sufferer to pay him or even to love him. And then he discovers that by the divine paradox of this kind of giving, he has found his own reward, whether his brother has yet received anything or not. His own character may still be gravely defective, but he somehow knows that God has enabled him to make a mighty beginning, and he senses that he stands at the edge of new mysteries, joys, and experiences of which he had never even dreamed. Practically every OA member declares that no satisfaction has been deeper and no joy greater than in a 12th step job well done, to watch the eyes of men and women with wonder as they move from darkness into light, to see their lives quickly fill with new purpose and meaning, to see whole families reassembled, to see the alcoholic or compulsive overeater outcast received back into his community in full citizenship, and above all, to watch these people awaken to the presence of a loving God in their lives. These things are the substance of what we receive as we carry the message to the next alcoholic. Congratulations, Anne-Marie.
Thank you.
Welcome to the sponsor line.
Thank
Thank you.
Woohoo, Anne Marie, congratulations.
Yay.
Congratulations, Anne Marie. That's wonderful.
Congratulations.
Congratulations, Anne Marie.
Thank you.
All right, now we're on to anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. An anniversary is a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for the anniversary reading. And I believe we do have an anniversary this evening. I believe that was Christina.
And Howard.
Oh, how could I forget you, Howard? All right. Christina and Howard. Now comes the biggest question yet. What about the practice of these principles in all our affairs? Can we love the whole pattern of living as eagerly as we do the small segment of it that we discover when we try to help other alcoholics achieve sobriety? Can we bring the same spirit of love and tolerance into our sometimes deranged family lives that we bring to our OA group? Can we have the same kind of confidence and faith in these people who have been infected and sometimes crippled by our own illness that we have in our sponsors? Can we actually carry the OA spirit into our daily work? Can we meet our newly recognized responsibilities to the world at large? And can we bring new purpose and devotion to the religion of our choice? Can we find a new joy of living in trying to do something about all these things? Furthermore, how should we come to terms with seeming failure or success? Can we now accept and adjust to either without despair or pride? Can we accept poverty, sickness, loneliness, and bereavement with courage and serenity? Can we steadfastly content ourselves with the humbler, yet sometimes more durable satisfactions when the brighter, more glittering achievements are denied us? The OA answer to these questions about living is yes. All of these things are possible. We know this because we see monotony, pain, and even calamity turned to good use by those who keep on trying to practice OA's 12 steps. And if these are the facts of life for the many compulsive eaters who have recovered in OA, they can become the facts of life for many more. Congratulations, Howard, Christina, and all our other anniversary celebrants.
Hooray, celebrants, so. Yay.
Congratulations, everyone.
Woohoo! Okay, if anyone else wants to be celebrating their step-up anniversary on our meeting, the link is on the sign-up page or the Sign Up Genius webpage that you can get to through the link on the website. So ordinarily, I would qualify for 10 minutes, but you've all been saved here, really, truly. And I am now going to be introducing, I believe it's Christina C., to be our guest to qualify for about 20 minutes. Christina C.
Thank you. Yes, I'm here.
Wonderful. I can see and hear you. You look good. Thanks.
Hey, Christina. It's Megan.
Megan.
It looks like we have 15 minutes, I think, basically. How would you like me to time you?
Thank you. How about 10 and then 1?
Got it.
Would you mind just interrupting me to say it? Because I never look at the chat.
You got it. No problem.
Thank you. What a joy to be able to serve in this way. And this just, I mean, every meeting is a gift, but this meeting feels very extraordinary. It's just so much to celebrate. And welcome Anne Marie to the sponsor line, and just welcome to all the newcomers and returners. We're so happy for you to be here. I'm so happy for you to be here. And what do I want to say, especially with a little less time, which I can totally work with because everything's possible when you're connected to the divine. I want to talk a little bit about how much this program has been an incredible piece of my healing journey, and how this program has really taught me how to work with my pain, and not just work with my pain, but learn that I don't have to suffer. Like, pain is unavoidable, but suffering, the way that I work with that pain, is avoidable if I have the openness and the willingness and the honesty and the tools and wisdom, both within myself and around me and my community. And I think this program has also really taught me how much joy and life is available to me, not just the pain. That's there for sure, but how much just wholeness is available to me and how much I can connect with my innate healer, that everything I need, all the wisdom, all the power, all the freedom in the whole universe is available to me if only I just swing wide the door of my heart and look for it. And this program has really been helping me learn how to swing wide the door of my heart. And so when we give our shares here in OA How, we often talk about what it was like, what happened, and what it is like now. And I kind of gave you a little teaser about what it's like now, but I want to talk to you a little bit about what life was for me before I came to program. I grew up with the most complex parents I've ever met of any of the parents I've met. They are incredibly beautiful people and just carry a lot of pain and got married really young, started having kids really young. And there was just a lot of generational pain that they just passed on to us kids. And my parents, I grew up in a very, very, very conservative Christian family, particularly, even though my family's Black, there was a lot of white patriarchal Christianity at play in our theology and in our practices and in the churches we went to. And God was scary, frankly. God was a scary white man who really didn't like me. And when we were little, my parents, who lived with a lot of fear, wanted us to have happy marriages, because part of their theology is that you really only self-actualize in heterosexual marriage. And so they wanted us to marry the right person so that we would have a good life. But in order to do that, we had to have to be perfect. And one of the things that they did was they required that starting when I was 5 years old, that we fast and pray every Sunday. And we fasted and prayed, so didn't eat for most of the day until dinner time. And the idea was we were praying for our future spouses, that we would marry the right person, that we would do everything right so that when eventually we got married, we'd have a good life and God would be nice to us. And so at age five, I learned how to turn off my hunger and satiety cues. I learned how to starve myself. I had no concept of the future. I barely had a concept of a spouse as a five-year-old, but I did understand what it meant to starve. And so I'd wake up on Sundays and be like, "Mom, is today the day we starve?" You know, she'd be like, "Yeah, today's the day." You know, that's all I understood. I have to starve in order to be holy enough and good enough and worthy enough for God to give me a spouse, because apparently having a spouse is like the best thing ever. And that's what I'm supposed to be going for in life. So that's something that was a practice in our family my entire life growing up. And I remember my first binge was on the communion bread, because I knew there was a loophole that one Sunday a month that we had communion, I got to eat a little something during communion, during the service. And then afterwards, I would like volunteer to help with cleanup, and I would just binge on all the bread. And that was just, I learned really quickly, like, oh, there's pain, there's fear, there's uncertainty, there's shame, food. These good old carbs, that will at least for a moment quiet that pain. And so, you know, as I was growing up, that was my go-to. I learned really quickly, like, this is how I can manage this pain. And I grew up in a family where there was a lot of pain. And as I got older, like maybe middle school age, I started to put on a little bit of weight. And so my dad, again, concerned that I wasn't going to be marriage eligible, told me, "No man will ever want to marry you if you're too fat." And so I had to start running laps around the block in the morning before I could have breakfast. That was like a rule my parents put in place. After swim practice every night, I wasn't allowed to eat. So I'd swim for a whole hour and come home starving and not be able to eat, because I was supposed to be like on a weight loss plan. It was this like spiritual, physical, dietitian sort of mix that my parents put me on. And so very quickly, I just sort of conflated thinness and starvation and beauty and desirability and pleasing God in this just mix of a mess. And I carried that with me into high school. I went to boarding school for high school, and I wanted to be thin. And so I told people I was fasting and praying about 25% of the time. And it was a liberal enough place where nobody was interested in stepping on my religious toes. They wanted to be, you know,
10 minutes left.
Thank you. They wanted to be sensitive. And so, I would, play three sports and just not eat. And if I did eat anything, if I wasn't starving that particular 7 or 8 days of the month, I would only eat like cottage cheese and bagels and just really low fat, terrible things. And I was fainting all the time. I was anemic. My hair was falling out. But my dad was like, here's the little girl, the beautiful little girl I always knew was in you. And so I was getting all this attention from him and now some of the boys that were in my world. And I think one of the things that I was taught as I was growing up was that my validation existed outside of me. I had to seek it outside of me. And I carry that with me into adulthood. It's, you know, my parents were doing the best they could, and they really literally offered me every single good thing that they had. They just didn't have a lot of good to offer, but they did give me what they could. They were doing the best they could. And, you know, I grew up with that. And then as an adult, I didn't know how to heal myself. And so I continued that whole idea. I have to find validation outside of me. My beauty is only true if other people can see it. And of course, that's a really painful way to live through life. So I was just using food and exercise to numb that pain. And I went to grad school. I went to college, I went to grad school. I was in my late 20s. I was in my early 30s. And it was just yo-yo. Like I would have long stretches of where I could sort of like restrict and exercise a lot, and I'd be somewhat closer to like a healthy body weight, but I wasn't actually healthy. I just sort of looked healthy on the outside. And then I'd have these long stretches where that muscle of just restricting was just weaker. And then I would be binging. And so my weight, in my closet, I think I had sizes from like size 4 to like size 18 or something. And it was just constantly flux. Like I could never predict what size I would be because I could never predict how much control I could have over food, because the fact of the matter is I didn't have really any control. And a breaking point for me was actually 2014. Up until this point, I've been talking a lot about individual pain, like the pain that I personally, Christina, experienced that's unique to my life. But in 2014, I also awakened on a much more conscious level to the systemic pain that I experienced as a Black woman. And this wasn't actually new to me. We live in a white patriarchal society, and those forces land on my body as a Black woman in a very particular and powerful and painful way. And, for example, when I was 5 years old, it's about the same time I started fasting. That was the first time I was called a nigger at church by my white Sunday school teacher. So I was carrying that pain this whole time too, and using food to numb. But it wasn't until 2014, when Michael Brown was killed by a white police officer in Ferguson, Missouri, that there was sort of a national consciousness, particularly around millennials like myself. And that's when the Black Lives Matter movement got started. And all of a sudden, my pain as a Black woman was just so loud in my body, louder than it had ever been. It had always been there, but it sort of just like awakened in this roaring way. And I remember I came home from a Black Lives Matter demonstration where we were all like arrested, and there was a lot of hostile behavior from the police who were in riot gear and all this stuff. And I just came home and I just ate everything in my cupboards. Every last thing, whole hunks of cheese, just like cereal. I had never had a binge like that. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night just so sick and feeling so terrible and thinking, gosh, I see now, somehow I was able to make the connection. I have this pain and this is how I deal with the pain, by just numbing it with food, and I need help. And I Googled and I found OA How through Google. So I came straight into OA How at the beginning of 2015. And I got abstinent right away. It was a really, really transformative process. And I think what the food plan did for me as like a fairly intense, organized person.
5 minutes left.
Thank you. It gave me structure. And that structure I was able to cling to. And as I got off the binging and the restricting and the over-exercising, because I was able to cling for dear life to this structure. Then all of the pain started coming up, and I was able to finally work through the steps and start declogging some of those pipes between me and God, start pulling open that door of my heart to all of the wisdom and the love and the acceptance and the truth that is out there in the universe. And I remember doing my first fourth step and just having hundreds and hundreds of harms that had been done to me by society and individuals, and just needing to just sort of like, it was like a milieu, you know, just systematically going through them, reclaiming my power, practicing the healer that's inside of me, calling that out. And I had a really precious sponsor who walked me through all that. And a big part of that process was realizing that the higher power I had inherited from society, from my parents, from the church, was not going to work for me. I couldn't surrender to that higher power, this white male God, the same God who's listed on the money where it says, "In God we trust," here in the United States, and it's right next to a picture of a white man. And I was like, I know that God. I cannot trust that God. And so if I'm going to surrender my pain, if I'm going to look for another way, if I'm going to ask for help and be honest and open and willing, I need to find a new higher power. And that's one of the things that I really like about the 12 steps. It gave me freedom to say, I need to find a God who works for me. And that's what I've done. And that has transformed my life, because once I was able to see myself in the divine, once I was able to understand that God walks on this earth in a Black female body like mine, understands police brutality, mass incarceration, abuse, understands the legacy of slavery, is with me, understands me, affirms me, looks like me, has thick thighs that save lives, isn't this like really skinny white lady that I'm supposed to look like according to society, but actually looks like me. That enabled me to work through the steps and say, yes, 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 help me find these defenses of character that I have grabbed onto as an escape, as a way to cope, because now I don't have to play God anymore. I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to be afraid. And when I see things that are scary, I can actually take those things to my higher power, although I learned from someone in program that I can call my higher power deeper power, which I prefer. And, you know, I can turn to my deeper power and say, this is what's going on in my life today. This is what my reality is like today as a Black woman. This is what my reality is like as an academic, or just any of the particular experiences that I have. How can I connect with your love and your wisdom? How can I embody that so that I can share it with other people? I don't have to come at it from a place of fear. I can actually come at it from a place of love. And these are all things that I really don't think could have been possible without program, because program has given me the foundation and the structure to do that work, to every day do the reading and the writing, to every day think about who my deeper power is. How can I be more free? How can I relinquish more? How can I do service that helps other people connect with a spirituality that works for them under all conditions?
1 minute.
Thank you. And it's been a gift. It hasn't always been easy, because freedom, liberation, journey work is not easy, but who wants it any other way? Once we start to get a taste of our true self, once we start to get connected to all the goodness that is in this world, we don't want to turn back. And I'm so grateful that there's so many other people in this program who are doing it with me in their own way. And I'm just really honored to be here. Thank you.
Thanks, Christina. Amazing.
Christina.
Thanks, Christina.
Thank you, Christina.
Okay, I believe we do not have time for shares this evening, but I'd like to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting. I also thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Christina, who offered so much of herself. May we please have the reading of Just for Today.
Sure. Thanks, Rebecca. Hi, I'm Liz A., grateful compulsive eater and food addict recovering in Florida. Just for
Hi,
today.
Liz, welcome.
Hey, Liz. Liz, welcome.
Thanks. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I'll be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in three ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least two things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from two pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour sometime, I will try to get a better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me. Thanks for letting me do service. I pass.
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank our skilled interpreters for helping us to reach even more people who struggle with this disease.
Yay, thank you.
Thank you.
Yay, thank you.
In closing, to those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion and time and give you the contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to, please join in to say the Serenity Prayer. Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. Let's pray for those who are still suffering. God.
God.
The serenity. The things I
cannot change.
The things I can.
The wisdom and the way to change the difference.
I know the difference.
Not mine.
I will. Not
mine.
Congratulations, everybody.
Keep coming back. We're to be working towards
congratulations
to all the celebrants.
Christina, Maya,
Rebecca,
Christina.
Congratulations, Howard. 19 years.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Howard. Congratulations, Christina. Pamela.
Congratulations, Christina. Thanks, Emery. Thanks, everyone, for sharing.
Emery, congratulations.
Thanks, everyone. Have a blessed night. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, all.
Lewis. Everybody.
Any newcomers with some questions here? Maybe not. Thanks, everyone.